This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back with you, Tower 2 at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, Connor Clark, as we get rolling in. Red Wine 65, he has a portal wish list. We need a rush end, he says. It'll terrorize opposing quarterbacks like Lawrence Taylor. I don't know that Lawrence has any eligibility left at North Carolina. He did leave early, but Red Wine, you're right on, man. Get a rush end. I think you've got some candidates there to get after the quarterback. A guy that I think was pretty vicious off the edge in his day, one Michael Bruntz from Husker 24/7 Sports, at Michael Bruntz on Twitter. Bruntz, we're doing the phone, and we've got your Raleigh Fingers request up for a cover that we may invoke here. How are you doing today?
Not bad.
Now, Michael, still have us?
Let me redo that.
Yeah, we're going to try and reconnect with Bruntz. Either that or he's on top of the Haymarket press box.
Let's hope he hasn't been struck by lightning.
No. Let's see if we have him.
Man, I was going to ask
all sorts of crackly.
I was going to ask him the hard-hitting question about Lawrence Taylor, like the inspiration. I didn't realize Michael Bruntz was such a fearsome force off the edge.
I'm making a lot up, but I'm just... Bruntz is that quiet killer dude, but at Michael Bruntz on Twitter is where you follow him.
You ever heard the soundbite from Lawrence Taylor about how he thought like smoking crack before practice made him better at football?
Well, the urban legend about Walter, the Philly fan, checks in, you'll need a brick of coke.
That's what I was saying.
Like LT.
That's what I'm saying, maybe some crack.
No, and we're laughing about some poor guy's demon. But no, Lawrence.
He thought it made him better at football. So
well, no, Lawrence. People would send Lawrence companions. Okay, he's on the road. They'd send Lawrence companions,
mm-hmm. And furry four-legged friends. I assume.
No.
I know what you mean.
No. But he'd come into the locker room saying, "Guess who's had 2 hours of sleep, fellas," and go have. Three sacks. Bruntzy, we got you back. How are you? We got off on a Lawrence Taylor tangent.
Oh, I don't know how. I don't think I want to know how you got off on a Lawrence Taylor tangent. So I'll just let my imagination run wild. I'm assuming that you guys were talking about your weekend.
No. No one took a chainsaw to our sports car, a la the what was the movie with Pacino? Help me out, Bruntzy. With
Any Given Sunday?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, 20 plus years ago. I referenced you being a beast off the edge in your day.
We were wondering if Michael Bruntz had ever smoked crack and gotten after
No is the answer as he hangs up. But phone problems again.
Well, maybe he's gotten after the quarterback, but probably not the first part.
Right.
is that a euphemism for smoking crack?
Well, Bruntz is getting after the quarterback again.
He's late to the interview. He's getting after the quarterback.
Yeah, he's having phone problems. Again. So today, as we bring this thing back, we talk Nebraska football. It's wide receiver day, Bruntzy. And if you could circle a wide receiver, who are you most excited to see this fall?
I'd probably Jamal Banks. Okay. I think that's at the top of the wish list. Just given that, you see him in person. Nebraska has not had a Jamal Banks on its roster in a while. I mean, he's every bit of the 6'4", 210, 215, or whatever it is that he's listed. And you know, he's that big body target that you like to have that can make contested catches in the red zone and all that stuff. He's also, you know, done pretty well off the field with leadership and what have you. But I think he'd be at the top of the list. For newcomers or guys that we haven't seen much of, Ja'Cory Barney's near the top of my list. You watch him in you know, what little we get to see, and he's just a very sudden athlete. And I know that Nebraska felt like they got an absolute steal out of South Florida whenever he committed to Nebraska over Miami. And, you know, to his background, I mean, he's a guy that played quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and never was really able to just focus on the wide receiver position. And I'm intrigued by what he can be in this offense. So those are the two that I'll kind of have eyes on, I think, when we get to April 27th.
There was some discussion today, Michael, from Coach McGuire about the importance of big-bodied wide receivers in the Big Ten. And I'm thinking back, like, the last true impact guy Nebraska had that was big-bodied was probably Stanley Morgan. And whenever you look at these two newcomers, Naor and Banks, do either of them have a little bit of Stanley Morgan in them?
Well, I mean, and with all respect to Stanley, I mean, he was maybe 6'1". Mm-hmm. Like, he played significantly bigger than he actually was. But he was a guy that was not afraid to go into traffic, go over the middle, make a contested catch. He just had, like, swagger and confidence. And I think that just goes so far to, you know, being able to make those tough catches. And, I think Naor, I think Banks both. I mean, they've got the experience factor. With Naor, you're hoping that he can kind of get back to more of what he was at Wyoming and kind of shake off what happened to him at Texas, where he really didn't do all that much. But, I mean, I think those are the two guys that can give you a little bit of a different, like, kind of like you said, I mean, just a different look than maybe what you've had. And I mean, I think the conversation's kind of been there for the last week or so that Nebraska needs to be able to handle press coverage better than they did last season. And it's still a work in progress. And, you know, you can kind of do that with quickness, but as a cornerback, it's a little bit tougher to come up and just jam a guy who's 6'4", 210. Like, you got to respect that size a little bit more. So I think that's a little bit of a different look. And I know the conversation this time last year was about how different the wide receiver room looked, but I really like the mix of new guys and veterans. And I think, you know, Jalen Lloyd to me too, as a smaller guy in that room, is a potential breakout candidate just based on, you know, kind of the relationship that he's kind of built with those quarterbacks and what he was able to do last season with that elite speed.
Michael, there was a comment in the stream earlier, and I know today was wide receiver day, but this was regarding the running back room and how there really hasn't been too many, you know, positive things said about the room. Not that it's being bombarded with negative things, but does that concern you at all, the lack of just kind of overall attention positively that room has gotten?
Yeah, it's I get that, and it's hard because you kind of need to be in scrimmage settings to get a better sense of what that room can be. You know, when you're tackling to the ground and guys are able to break tackles and things like that, it's a little bit of a different conversation than maybe some other position groups where you can kind of get a sense for things of, you know, 7-on-7 and running routes on air and that kind of thing. I think right now it's just a little bit of an incomplete picture because you don't have Gabe Irvin fully participating. Ramir Johnson's been limited somewhat to this point as well. And, you know, for that reason, I think you're probably going to leave the spring, you know, kind of with some things up in the air. And even a newer guy like Dante Dowdell, who I think people have a lot of excitement about, he's still new to the program, still new to kind of getting the sense of how things work at Nebraska, and that's going to take some time too. So I agree. I mean, there hasn't been a ton of buzz about that room, but I think that's kind of endemic to the room as well, is that you just it's hard to get a good read on that group until you kind of see it with your own eyes.
Michael Brunt's with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, Husker 24/7. It's where you read Bruntsy at Michael Brunt's on Twitter. Going to talk portal for a moment. Fields and Collier gone. and your concern level out of 10 is what? What's the number? I mean, Matt Rhule was calm today, but Bruns, are you thinking you're going to have a surprise or two?
Yeah, I mean, the two guys that were connected to Nebraska, I mean, they haven't been around the team. I mean, Fields has been gone since October, November maybe, and Collier hadn't been around the team much at all this offseason, so I think that was kind of expected over there. And not a huge deal in terms of the depth, but, you know, I think that Nebraska, I hesitate to go too hard in the paint on these takes with the portal because you just never know, but I mean, I do think that there it helps when you have the culture that Nebraska has. I don't think that you're going to see any, like, huge, you know, movements and just mass exodus into the portal once spring ball's over. I wouldn't be surprised if you see some guys that get to the end of the spring and feel like maybe they're more buried on the depth chart or they have some hard conversations about what their role might be and they choose to move on. But I think that, you know, Matt Rhule, you know, intentionally has kind of struck the right tone in the transfer portal era where, you know, they make guys want to stay, which, I mean, that doesn't sound that novel of a concept, but it kind of is right now in college athletics. So, I'm not expecting there to be any huge movement, but at the same time, I mean, Nebraska's pretty much full on scholarships right now. They've got other guys on NIL deals. So there's probably going to be some attrition just based on the number of guys they have on the roster because they still do have a pretty sizable roster as they get to the end of spring here.
Michael, whenever you hear what Matt Rhule had to say today about tampering in the transfer portal, how big of an issue do you think tampering is in college football today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's kind of shocking to hear him say that, but it happens. I mean, it happened last spring with guys at Nebraska. He said that it happened this spring already too. I mean, I think that's just kind of the nature of college sports right now, and I don't really know how you police it. Unless you're turning guys in, or I don't know if coaches start naming names publicly if that changes things. But I mean, there's just such a lack of oversight right now on how all of this stuff works that. Unfortunately, you can kind of do that stuff. And you know, it used to be you'd go through a 7-on-7 coach or an AAU coach or kind of back channel things a little bit. And that probably happens now too. But I think some coaches are just getting a little bit even more brazen with it and just reaching out to the kid directly. So, I don't know what the answer is to make it stop. And it happened. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. So we'll see if the NCAA can kind of wrap their arms around it and figure it out. But it just feels like one of those things that's going to be hard to police.
Michael, let's head over to the diamond here real quick. Nebraska Creighton number 2 tonight. What does Nebraska need to do to get it done? They've lost 4 out of their last 5 despite having 2 straight pitchers of the week. How does Nebraska kind of get off that skid?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the numbers for April, the big change has kind of been the struggles with the bullpen. Right now in the month of April, they've pitched about half the innings that they did in March and given up just about the same amount of runs to this point. The walks are up from what they have been. And, the offense has actually been hitting at a better rate the last few weeks, but the bullpen has not been able to get those shutdown innings that are so important. So that's kind of the key going forward. Nebraska's basically starting this stretch of games that are really important for kind of what the long-term trajectory of this season is going to be. You've got Creighton tonight. You've got Maryland coming in here. You've got a midweek against Kansas. And then you've got Iowa coming in here the weekend of the spring game. So this is the time where you got to get things figured out a little bit. The starting pitching has been really good, like you said, but just kind of getting the thing over the finish line has just been a little bit more of a challenge, so that they need to be better and throw more strikes there.
We've got Walter chiming in with Gavin Griffiths. Bruncey, I know you're all over Husker basketball. The transfer from Rutgers looks like he may be added to Nebraska's roster. You pick up the point guard from Utah. Real quick thought on what Fred's been able to do here the last 24, 48 hours.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's doing kind of what he did last season. I mean, you're finding experienced guys that have played a lot of basketball. In the case of Wooster, the point guard from Utah, I mean, it's a guy that's been in over 100 games in his career and played for a really tough-minded coach in Craig Smith. So that was kind of one of the, you know, everybody's kind of focused on the bigs and how they're going to add size and that kind of thing. But, to get a veteran point guard, I know they really like Aaron Ulis and what he can be long-term. I don't know what his situation's going to be with everything that went down at Iowa last year. But, that addition in particular with the point guard spot kind of caught my attention because that was one area that even last year was kind of lacking. And if you can get a veteran point guard that can kind of run the ship and get everybody where they're supposed to be, I mean, that's huge in Fred Hoiberg's offense.
Michael, with Gavin Griffiths, sport goggles, yes or no?
As somebody that is very challenged in the sight department, I'm all for the goggles. And actually, I would like them to be bigger. Like, everybody kind of does, like, the goggles now that look like the Oakleys from back when I was, like, in high school. I would love it if they went back to the Rambis goggles, like the Worthy, James Worthy, like Kurt Rambis type stuff. Although Rambis just wore the frames, didn't he?
Yeah, like and he had tape because undoubtedly they get shattered between the Pistons or the Celtics.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin McHale hitting him with a clothesline, probably. I think I support the goggles. I think if you go back to the bigger goggles or just the glasses themselves, I like that look even more.
Well, the trick was to just pull the guy's goggles down while you're standing and waiting for a ball to be inbounded.
I think it's 2024 and contacts are,
maybe.
You know.
Unless you get the old eye socket rearranged with an elbow. Brunsie, enjoy baseball tonight. Thanks for the time.
Anytime. Thanks.
There he is, Michael Brunce. With us from Husker 24/7 Sports, we'll hear from Rule next.